Kanim guys. We're going to speak about Lav Luch, the pasuk that's given over to Moshe. So here's what happens. Moshe Rabbeinu gets up and he davens 515 times. Bo'ef Hanan El Hashem Bo'isahi Lemor. Bo'ef Hanan is the gematria of 515. 515 prayers in order to get himself in Eretz Yisrael. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the end says no. He says no, you're not going to go in. Rav Luch is the end. Al Tosev Daber Elai Od Badaber Azeh. Don't speak to me ever again about this. But Rav Luch, it's too much for you. So the question is, what is that line of Rav Luch? Where does that come from? So we're going to try to go through 20 things altogether, 20 different answers altogether. Some of them are going to be answers that you've heard of. Some of them are going to be answers that are a little bit unique to the situation. But let's go through. Rashi's two answers are, number one, Hashem told them that he didn't want people to go around saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was the nicest guy of all time, while HaKadosh Baruch Hu was this mean old person who keeps saying no. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him that every time you fought me, you've asked me again and again and again, and I've given in, I can't do that anymore. I can't allow that to happen. I have to be the one that make a deal, it's done, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it's as if nothing else can happen after that. That's the Gemara in Sotah Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We're going to see a variation of that from the Baal HaTurim, but that's the basic idea of just, period. Once I make this decision, that's it.
It's not fair.
Yeah.
Because Moshe went to bat for the Jews, I mean, at least twice.
At least.
And
nonetheless,
God took it back.
And that's the whole point. In other words, you fought too much already. So now for you to fight again,
it was unselfish.
And that's it. But once you do it all those times, it's sort of, you used up your schuyos. You had merits, you had the ability to argue it, you had the ability to go through, but now it's too much. And that's what it means by Rav Luch. It's too much for you to be able to argue with me, so to speak. Number two, there's so much waiting for you in Shemayim. There's Rav Luch. There's so much for you up there in Shemayim that you being down here, so to speak, is taking away from everything that you have waiting for you. Marav That's the idea behind it and what's going to happen for you. Sifri and Pinchas and Chav Gimel brings this down, and that's the idea. You need to die in order to get to that schust, to get to that level. That's where it is. The Orachaim understands it as Moshe's claims that he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael to go do more mitzvos. Says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you don't need those other mitzvos. You're done as it is right now. The way the Shachal Torah says it is that when a person dies before his proper time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to give them all the averos that he's going to do for the rest of his life. The other averos that he's going to do for the rest of his life are not taken into account. All he's going to get are the mitzvos of what he would have done had he lived longer. So Moshe Rabbeinu was being told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're worried that you want more squeals, more mitzvos, more things, and that's why you want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Luch, there's so much for you waiting there, and everything that you would have gotten had you lived longer is all waiting for you in Shemayim, so don't worry about anything. You've got everything right there, you don't need anything more. That's the two that are mentioned by Rashi. The Orachaim explains number two. Now we're going to go into the Baal HaTurim's eight explanations altogether. Number three, you may have started to say over my praises, but there's too much for you to mention, so don't go any further. Remember, we learn many of our Hilchos Tefillah from how Moshe Rabbeinu was davening right over here. Bo'es Hanan El Hashem Bo'isahi Lemor is like Hashem Svasai Tiftach Ufi Yagid Tehilasecha. The letters are there, the words are there, the concept of Adonai Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is also over here, right? And that Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is also used in this situation. Not Bo'es Hanan El Hashem, that's Yud Kevavke, but later on, that shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is used. Our concept of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atachi Losa Laharos is out there. You've already started to show your greatness, and then going into your Bakasha, the same way we say three things, and then we go into our Bakashas and our Shemon Esrei, is all learned from Moshe Rabbeinu right over here. We're learning it over here. So what he was doing was he was praising over and over and over again, to which Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't go any further than that. Rav Luch, you've set it up already. The way the Gemara Megillah says it is Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora. That's it. You can't say anything else. And if the Anshei Knesset Gedolah wouldn't have said those, you wouldn't be able to even say those. You wouldn't be able to say those. To describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu and describe his greatness is way beyond any of us to do. So therefore, you can't go any further from what you've said. You have to stop right there and don't praise me anymore, because the praises have their limits. That's the idea of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to tell him, how a person should daven, and telling him to limit his prayers to the amount of praise that he would give. That's number three. Number four, there's no real way to get around death. Say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, you're already 120. Adam Rishon decided that death had to be brought to the world by eating from the Eitz Hadas, and is given this as a knas, as a fine, that would be for him forever, and therefore everyone must die. Thus, the idea of Rav Lach is you have a Rav who already decided in Paskin this for you. Your Rav is Adam Harishon. Rav Lach. You have that rabbi that's in charge that's doing this. He's the one that made this decision. Now, this takes a little bit of work. Chassam Sofer adds on to this answer, and here's what it is. Adam Harishon saw that David Melech was destined to die. He gave him 70 years of his life, and instead of dying at 1,000, like David Melech should have, he died at the age of 930. We all know that, right? Why David Melech? Why did he give David Melech those years of life? What in the world does that mean? If David Melech was in Naples, he was a child that wouldn't have lived. So Moshe Rabbeinu, Adam Rishon saw this and said, I want David Melech to live. There are tons of other Nephilim, people that have died at a very young age in this world. What was special about David Melech that he saw him? And the question is, if he saw something special about him, then I don't understand. Was he the only Naples who had great things? And if he was so great, then why wouldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just allow David Melech to live? Why not just allow David Melech to come through? Why do you have to let him die that other Marishan have to ask for 70 years? What in the world does that mean? See, that's it's a crazy little line, but what's the idea behind it? Now, we have to understand, Adam needed a tikkun for what he had done wrong. What was the tikkun that he needed? He caused tumah, death, bad things to happen in the world, so he needed to recreate a world where there would be no death, no problems, everything would be okay. Who's going to bring about this world? This isn't like a trick question. Mashiach. Mashiach's going to come. He's going to bring about the ultimate geula. So Mashiach is going to be the ultimate tikkun for Adam Rishon. We know that. Adam Rishon looked through the future generations to see what would be the optimal way for Mashiach to come. And he was given a choice. Moshe Rabbeinu was the prime choice. If Moshe Rabbeinu goes into Eretz Yisrael, he would be Mashiach. He would bring about the geula, the full geula, everything. Right then, when they walked in, is he the optimal way of bringing about Mashiach, or is it through something else? And Adam Rishon looked in the future and saw that the greatest way for everything to happen, for Mashiach to come, was through David HaMelech being born, having children, and eventually leading to Mashiach itself. That was what would have to happen. Not through Moshe, but through David HaMelech. Now why? There are four people who died because of what Adam Rishon did, even though they didn't deserve death. It's a Gemara of Bava Basra, Tet Zayin Amud Aleph, right? It's also mentioned, Tet Zayin Amud Beis, I'm sorry, it's also mentioned in Shabbos Daf Nun Hei. Four people are, you know them, right?
Yishai.
Kilov, right? Also known as Zeniel. Who are the other two?
Binyamin
HaTzadik, of course. Binyamin, not Benyamin. Stop it. Yeah, Binyamin. And it was Binyamin. Yeah, go ahead. And the fourth one?
Amram.
Father Moshe. Now, we got this, right? Binyamin HaTzadik is not shy because he's before Matan Torah. Amram also is before Matan Torah. He died before Matan Torah. Neither one of them are shy to be able to fulfill the idea of what Adam Rishon wanted to create in the world. He can't have the Mashiach before the Torah was given. So now you're down to Kilov and Yishai. But here's the deal. See, Amram was the father of Moshe Rabbeinu. Kilov and Yishai were the father and son of David HaMelech. So David HaMelech looked in the Adam Rishon looked into the future and said, where do I want to come back? Where do I want that tikkun to form from? Where do I want it to be? And he looked at it and he said the following. If I allow Moshe Rabbeinu to be Mashiach, he's going to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash will be built. Amalek will be destroyed. Things will be good. But the people are not yet on the level to deserve it. The people have been working how long for the Torah? 40 years? 40 years. And the 40 years that they got, they didn't really work that hard. They were in the Anani HaKavod. They had the Be'er Shomirim. They had the Mun. They were given everything for free. It was basically like Adam Rishon before the Chait. Granted, there were things going on. Sometimes they lost water. Sometimes the Mun wasn't good enough, etc. But basically, they were in a level, a status of Adam Rishon before the Chait. Said Adam, that's not what I wanted. If I wanted the world to be like what it was like when I was in Gan Eden, then I would have just not sinned. I don't want a world like that. I want people to work hard and to eventually get somewhere from what they're doing. I want to see people who have worked on themselves when it wasn't so easy. And he looked at Yishai and he looked at Kilov and he saw that they surrounded a man named David HaMelech, and they saw that David HaMelech was going to live a life that was going to be difficult. He was going to live a life where for the first 30 years of his life everybody thought he was a mamzer. He was going to live a life life where there were children who wanted to kill him. He's going to live a life where there were crazy enemies and the police were coming from one side, Moab and Ammon on another side. He was going to live that life. And once Adam Rishon saw a person like David Melech, he said, I want Mashiach to come from him. That if this person lives, his life is going to be filled with stress, filled with problems, filled with issues. That's the person that I want. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want David Melech to survive. He wanted the people to get their lives. He wanted them to get the Geula right by the same way Adam Rishon got it. Just like Adam Rishon got his chance by just sitting in Gan Eden and getting everything for free. He wanted the Jews to get everything for free and then walk into Gan Eden, walk into Eretz Yisrael, and everything will be fine. And said Adam Rishon, that's not what I want. The promotion of him who can't be the leader. It's got to be David HaMelech. It's got to be a person like David HaMelech. And even though it's taken us, you know, 5,774 years to get to this point, this is the optimal plan. How? I have no idea. But the optimal plan is for us to be in the situation that they're in. And it was decided, not once, but twice, by Adam Rishon, for this to happen and for us to be in the world that we're in today. And that's what it means by Rav Lux, says the Chassam Sofer. Your Rav, the ultimate Rav, the first rabbi in the world, made the decision. And granted, he didn't have smicha. That's why he's not known as Rabbi. He's known as Rav. But nonetheless, he decided to make that decision, and that was that.
Why is Adam's decision a trump God's decision?
It doesn't, in a way. Adam Rishon decision was a decision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't, you got to use these words, could have made, but would have allowed Midas HaDin to be Mekatrig, to accuse, right, that they don't deserve it. Adam Rishon realized this is what Hashem wanted to do, but nonetheless knew that he wouldn't do it on his own, so to speak. It had to be done in a fashion, in some type of a way, where the people would make the decision and not God making the decision for them, where they would deserve to have Mashiach come as opposed to given the Mashiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't run the world through just Midas HaChesed and Midas HaRachamim, there's Midas HaDin as well that needed to be involved. And I know that's a bigger subject for another time, and Nefesh HaChaim speaks about it, but nonetheless, that's the concept of what it's going to be. Now we're going to give little pshatlach over here. It's really too much. We said this basic answer from Rashi before the Baal Shem goes through. Four times you acted with brazenness, you audacity, you argued with me, and I have to punish you for acting in this manner. Therefore, I'm not going to listen to your tefillah here. That's what the Midrash Tanhuma says. Then that's Rav Luck. It's been too much for you to argue up until now. The other thing is number six. I'm sorry? It's very similar to number one. The only difference between them is a little bit of the Lashon. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I don't want to sound like I'm harsh, as opposed to saying, you deserve this punishment. That's the only real difference between them. Number six, when you do something wrong, like you did at Mei Meriva, it becomes a bigger sin because you did. Rav Lach, to you, it was too big of a sin for me to get over, and therefore I can't get over it. That's that. Number seven, you've already defeated me a bunch of times. If you do this, if you keep doing this, my Hashkacha can't work. If you keep defeating me, then the way for the world to go isn't going to work that way. So Rav Lach, it's too much for you to get involved with. It's better for B'nai Yisrael if you die now. That's what it's going to be over here. Number eight, you have a Rav. Rav Lach, you have a Rav that can match up your Nadarim. So when Moshe Rabbeinu swore never to go back to Mitzrayim without the permission of Yisro, you could get a Heter for your Nadarim because you have a Rabbi that can match up your Nadarim. Me, says Hashem, I swore that you wouldn't go to Eretz Yisrael. There's no Rav that can match up my Nadar. So Rav Lach, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, you might have a Rav that can match up your Nadarim. I don't have such a Rav. I did it behind you. Number nine, Rav Lach is Yoshua. Yoshua is your rabbi. He's going to lead the people into Eretz Yisrael. Since he's there, you can't touch him. Yoshua is your rabbi, and that's there. Number ten, right? Don't worry about the Malach HaMavis. Rav Lach, your Rebbe will be with you. I will make sure that you die. You won't die through the Malach HaMavis. You'll die through something called Mises Neshika. It'll be a little bit easier. Okay, we're going to skip the Chizkuni. We're going to skip the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. We're going to skip the Kliyak, although the Kliyak is cute. Kliyak says, how long does a person normally live? Normally, how long does a person live?
70.
How do you know that?
Where in
Tehillim? If you're strong, then you live 80. So a normal person lives 70 years, according to who? According to Moshe Rabbeinu. He wrote the Tehillim from Sadi to Kuf. So he wrote Yemeishno Seinu Shivim Shana. So Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem, Moshe, you've already lived 50 years longer than a normal person. What else do you want? Do you get it?
Lach.
Do you get it? Rav Lach. Lach is the gematria 50. You're 50 years over your normal amount. So Rav Lach, the Lach that you got is right there. I said this, I hinted at this a little bit before. The Ben Ishchai is a cute answer, a very cute answer. We know that in Eretz Yisrael, by the Amoraim, they were known as Rebbe, because they got Smicha. In Chutz Lars, they weren't able to be called Rebbe, they were only called Rav. Right? Since Moshe Rabbeinu would have to remain in Chutz Lars and not be in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Lach. You're only going to be a Rav, you're not going to be a Rebbe. You'll never be able to get up there. That's the idea behind it. And the final one is from the Sefer Haredim.
Moshe never got Smicha.
I'm sorry?
Moshe never got Smicha.
And that's what I was saying before. Yeah, he couldn't get Smicha itself. He wasn't ordained in the same way that other Marishim wasn't in that way. There's another answer that's given. It's a really crazy answer. We've said that Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is in last week really, where Moshe Rabbeinu was punished because of an Esau. They didn't deserve to have anything more than what Moshe Rabbeinu did. In other words, because they died outside of Eretz Yisrael, right, they couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. The people had to be there, so Moshe Rabbeinu had to be their leader. When he goes back to Eretz Yisrael, the upset level by Tzchias HaMeisim, he's going to bring the whole generation of Doron Bepor with him. Without Moshe, they won't go in. So listen to the idea over here. What's the halacha? It's from Makos, Daf Yud. What's the halacha? If a person kills Bishogeg and goes to an Ir Miklat, he goes to that city of refuge. Okay, if he kills Bishogeg, goes to the Ir Miklat, and he has a Rebbe, where does the Rebbe go? Rebbe goes to the Ir Miklat with him. So strange, right? The Rebbe has to go to the Ir Miklat together with the Talmud. If there's a yeshiva that he's in, if the Rebbe has the yeshiva and the Rebbe kills accidentally, then the whole yeshiva comes with him. The whole yeshiva has to walk with him. It's crazy. Can you imagine somebody kills Bishogeg? I'm not going to put myself in that position, but somebody who has a Rebbe kills Bishogeg, and then the Rebbe says that, and he goes up to his Rebbe, he's like, Rebbe, I killed Bishogeg. And the Rebbe's like, no, you're kidding me. I don't want to move to Butbesser. Like, that's the last place I want to move to. Like, there's no way. I've got a whole yeshiva here in Yerushalayim. You're making me move to Besser, but that's what happened. That once that happened, you had to automatically run to whichever Ir Miklat you were there. That's what happened, says the Sefer Haredim. Hashem told him, you have no choice, Moshe Rabbeinu. Once your Talmidim sinned and had to go to an Ir Miklat, they died outside of Eretz Yisrael, you had to follow them. You didn't have a choice over there. Now, the Meshech Chachma. Now we're getting to the full answers. Meshe Chachma says an unbelievable answer over here. He's not talking about Rav Lach. He's talking about a different part of the pasuk, but it's so applicable. It's amazing. See, there are people who grew up with Moshe Rabbeinu. They remembered when he was in the palace by Paro, and you know how they are. You know, we all know how Jewish bubbies are. I remember when you were a little kid. I'm sure you guys get it yourself. I remember when you were this small. No, you don't. No, you don't. You're lying to me, because you never remember when I was that small. I remember when you didn't have a beard. You might remember that. That's possible. But you'll get those all the time, right? There were people like Dora Midbar who were all over the place with that. They said, like, I remember when he was. So when Moshe Rabbeinu led Dora Midbar through the desert, even when he's up on Har Sinai, remember Moshe when he was in diapers? Now he's up on Har Sinai. That's what they would do. But Dora Midbar is gone. They're all dead. So who's there now? It's Dor Boi La'aretz, the people going into Eretz Yisrael, a brand new generation of younger people who only knew Moshe Rabbeinu as the miracle guy. They don't know any other Moshe Rabbeinu. They look at Moshe Rabbeinu, they don't even look at Moshe Rabbeinu. They can't look at Moshe Rabbeinu because he has a shine that's coming from his face. He has a shine that emanates from his face, to which the point is he has to wear a mask on top of his face. He's the one that split the sea. He's the one that brought the mun. He has a constant conversation going with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He was the one who's up on Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who just by Korach opened up the ground and had them all be swallowed up. All they knew him as, the crazy miracle guy. There were people that treated him as a god. Not even a lowercase g. They mamish thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was a god. And they couldn't get over it. And when Moshe Rabbeinu would say, no, I'm just a human being, they'd be like, human beings don't have shines on, they don't have a shiny face like that. Human beings we can look at. Human beings we can talk to. You have nothing to do with anything. You're a malach. You're up there in Shemayim. You have nothing to do with us, Moshe Rabbeinu. It was to the point where people were thinking that they wanted to bow down to Moshe. If Moshe didn't die, then they would just fuel their ideas of what Moshe Rabbeinu was. They would continue thinking that Moshe Rabbeinu was a god. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu to Moshe, Rav Lach, it's too much for you. You have to die so that people know that you're human. So that's why the Torah ends on like such a bad note. The first, I don't want to say comic tragedy, the first real tragedy where you're expecting, you know, like you're reading through the Torah, like it was a, if it was a novel, you'd go through and you're getting toward the end and you're expecting this awesome ending where Moshe Rabbeinu is like, and he convinced God and he went in. And he brought the Nisal in. And it doesn't happen. You sit there at the end and he dies. And we end up on a, such a sad note. And Moshe Rabbeinu dies and the people crying. The end. Go see Yoshua. Things work out okay. It's not the ending that you're expecting. It's not the ending that you want. It's just, it's totally different because that's how it goes. Says the Meshech Chochma, that's what it means by Rav Loch. It's too much for you. It's too much for them. You need to die so that they see that you're nothing more than a rose. And that's that. You're nothing more than that. The Igret Akala. This is an unbelievable line. He says, we all know, everybody here knows this, that the word lamor is used to refer to the hem of a shirt. Now, I always thought lamor meant to say. But apparently, lamor is more than that. It's the hem of your shirt, meaning at the end of your shirt, you have something that goes around like these little stitchings, right, to make sure that it doesn't get frayed or start going off, right? And sittis, it's those little, the things that come out from the bottom, you know, those little, like the bells, the things that remind you of the bells and the pomegranates that the Kohen Gadol had by the meal. You know that's why they have them on wool tzitzis, right? Those little, nobody knows what I'm talking about. These guys, you know? These guys over here, right? They're like bells and pomegranates. They're only there to be able to remind you that the meal of the Kohen Gadol had those things on there, right? Those things over there. So with that, if you look, like this is double covered, so that doesn't come apart. Here, this comes apart very, very easily. This stuff is all over the place, and this stuff is like, it's all, it can get frayed so easily. Why? Because it doesn't have a hem. Lamor means you should have a hem. Now, what does it mean? It means to be mitzamseh. And I know because Danny's here, you at least have done Tanya. If anybody else is here has done Tanya before, I do suggest that eventually you do it, but it is an unbelievable safer. But the idea of a hem means that you're holding something back and not letting it go so far. Here's what the Igret Akala says. Again, this is the B'nai Yisachar, writes the following. Tzaddikim keep growing their entire lives. They don't stop. So no matter how high you get, they can always go higher. At one point, at a certain point, they get so high, they're so beyond this world, that they can't be in the world anymore, and they die. See, Avram Avinu, by the Akedah, was on a high, high level. But he still did not get to the highest level, and therefore you could remain in the world. Sari Menu was a greater Neviah than Avram Avinu. So when Sari Menu came to the Akedah, she had her own Akedah at the exact same time, watching the Akedah happening. At that point, when she got to that level, she no longer could keep her Neshama back in her body. When she had the Akedah, that Nisayin of the Akedah for herself, she died. It wasn't a bad thing. It's that her Neshama no longer could remain in the system that it was in. Moshe Rabbeinu is feeling it. He knows. If he goes any higher, his neshama is just leaving his body. And he felt himself getting greater and greater and greater to the point where he was almost done. He knew that there was his neshama already was pulling to try to go up to Shemayim and to leave his body, and Moshe Rabbeinu was holding it back. He knew that it was too great. But his issue was that I'm too great if I'm in Chutz Laretz. If I go to Eretz Yisrael, maybe Avira to Eretz Yisrael Mechakim. Maybe the air of Eretz Yisrael is so much wiser, so much greater that if I go to Eretz Yisrael, I can attain different levels. And when I get to those levels in Eretz Yisrael, I'll be on such a high level that I can go higher and not die. So he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow me to go to Eretz Yisrael and don't forget about not killing me. If I go to Eretz Yisrael, I'll be fine. I'll be able to live a little bit longer. That's what he assumed. If I'm going to be able to go in, that's just going to happen. So Ebron, he said, let me pass by the Eretz Ha'aretz HaTova. Let me see the land, and if I do that, then maybe I'll be able to be on this level, and I'll be able to survive a little bit longer automatically. It won't be that I have to die. It's that I'll choose if I want to die or not. Maybe that'll be better for me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you don't get it. The whole reason why Avira to Eretz Yisrael Mechakim, the only reason why the airspace of Eretz Yisrael makes you wiser is because Moshe Rabbeinu looked at the land. It's not because the land is special, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu could have lived longer in it. It's that Moshe Rabbeinu looked at the land and made the land special. That's what ended up being. Yes, Eretz Yisrael has its own Kedusha. Moshe Rabbeinu applied that Kedusha, allowed it to be there. That's what he ended up doing. So says the Igret Akala, Rav Loch, it's too much for you. That level is too much for you to get to. It's going to be too high. You're not going to be able to do it. It's not going to work. You know, there's a Medrash Tanchuma at the beginning of the parsha that says a crazy line. It says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu Rav Lach, says Rabbi Tanchuma in the Medrash Tanchuma, Ha'asher Yana Ba'azus, the rich man answered back with brazenness. It's as if a poor man is coming and asking for alms. It's like a guy comes up to you, a Meshulach, you know, in the morning by Shacharis, and he goes up to you and he's all nice and he says like, please, can I have a dollar? And he's like, get out of here, man. Get out of here. I don't want to talk to you. Ha'asher, the rich man who has the money, Yana Ba'azus. He doesn't answer normally, he answers Ba'azus. He gave Rav Lach, it was like a line of like punching Moshe Rabbeinu in the face, so to speak, saying, no, you don't deserve it, get out of my face. So the Yid HaKadosh of Pshitzka said that when Rabbi Tanchuma came up to Shemayim after 120, I don't know how old he wasn't 120. But either way, when he came up to Shemayim after 83, so they said to the Yid HaKadosh, what did you mean by that? The whole Beis and Shomala got together and they said to him, what in the world does that mean? How could you say that a Kaddish Baruch Hu has Azus, that he has brazenness to Moshe Rabbeinu? How could you say such a thing? What did you mean by it? Unreal answer. Says the Yid HaKadosh, this is what the Medrash Tanchuma answered. Rabbi Tanchuma answered the following. He said, we all know that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, he would have caused the Geula. Right? But it wasn't time for the Geula yet. Why wasn't it time for the Geula yet? You needed Rus and Boaz. You needed Rus and Boaz. And until you have Rus and Boaz, you won't be able to go up into, you won't be able to have that Geula Shlema. Now, Rus and Boaz are hinted to by the words Rav Lach. Rav is the first letters of Rus, Boaz. What letters are missing in Rus and Boaz? Vav, from Vav Ayin Zayin in Boaz, and Vav Suf from Rus. That's Azus. Ayin Zayin Vav Suf. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered Moshe, you can't go in because you're missing Azus. He answered the Azus. When you have the Azus, if you have Rav and Azus, if you put them both together, you have Rus and Boaz, then you can go to Eretz Yisrael. But until you have that, you can't go to Eretz Yisrael. It's an unbelievable answer by the Medrash Tanchuma. I don't know if Beis and Shomalo accepted it, but nonetheless, that was the answer they ended up giving. This is a cute answer for the Gra, and we'll get to the final answer, and we're not going to be able to go all the way through. You know what happens by an Eved? What can an Eved do if he wants to stay in his house? An Eved Ivri, right? He gets to go for 6 years. What happens if he wants to stay for longer than 6 years? Goes to the master and he says, what does he have to say? I love my master, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I love my wife, right? That's the Torah. I love my children. That's Klal Yisrael. And if he says that, right, then he has to go in and he has to say it to his master.
His children.
Meaning we're talking about the Eved. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Eved. He said, I love my wife, my master, Hashem, my wife, the Torah. I love my children. I love Klal Yisrael. So if I want to stay, make me a Nirtza. Go for it. Pierce me in the ear, said Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm ready to be a Nirtza. I'm ready to go. You would have been that Jew with the earring. And everything would have been okay. And then everybody would have earrings from then on. It would have been perfect. So why didn't he do it? Why didn't it work? Says the Gra, it says it does work, but it only works when you say it twice. You have to say it twice. Now, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to do. He wanted to say the word na twice. Ebra na va'era eh na es arat atovazos. He wanted to go in and say that. And the no would have applied to be able to make him go in twice. It's as if he was swearing that he was going to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Rav Lach, you've said enough. Al Tosef Davar Elai Od V'Davar Zeh, you can't say it again. If you say it again, you're going to have to go in. And Moshe Rabbeinu was told not to go in. In theory, Moshe Rabbeinu could have said it. And had he said it, it would have worked. You all know the story of Rabbi Yishon Levi, right? How he went to Gan Eden Shomala, how he convinced the Malach HaMavis, who was his friend, which is awesome. He convinced the Malach HaMavis to allow him to jump into Gan Eden, the Gemara and Ksuvis and Daf Ayin Zayim et al. That would have been the same thing with Moshe. I mean, he could have jumped in, but he didn't at the end of the day. All right, we're going to end with the following. The last medrash that we have is, this Rav Lach was used before. When Korach fought against Moshe Rabbeinu, the Medrash brings down that the Korach and his men stood over Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and says, Rav Lach, you've had too much. To which Moshe Rabbeinu answered back to them, Rav Lachem B'nei Levi. You guys have so much. And granted, we have a lot, said Moshe and Aaron, but Rav Lachem B'nei Levi. You have so much yourselves, you're Levium, you get to carry the Aaron Kodesh, you get to carry everything. Rav Lachem, you have so much for yourselves. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you said Rav Lachem to the Levium, you said that to Korach, Rav Lach to you, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. you don't get to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now the Parsha Pshat is, you were mean to Korach, so now I'm going to be mean to you. What's Pshat? You're supposed to be mean to Korach. Korach deserved it. Korach wasn't supposed to be answered. Of course you're mean to Korach. Korach went up and said, God didn't speak to you. You're not really supposed to be the leader. Aaron's not really the Kohen Gadol. Of course you're going to be mean to Korach. He deserves it. Why wouldn't you do that?
Should have been to the point more.
I'm sorry?
Should have been more to the point, maybe.
Should have been, meaning don't add on those extra words?
Right. I mean, Korach was criticizing that he was on top of the leader, so address that matter. Don't say, like, oh, well, you're over here.
And that's the simple answer. The simple answer is that you say, like, you have to understand who you are, and that line of Rava was too much. But listen to this answer from Volson. It's literally the craziest answer you'll ever hear. Korach was a very great man. It was possible that he would have been chosen for something great had he waited. He had to wait a little bit longer. That's all he had to do. He had to wait a little bit longer, and then he would have gotten that position. Moshe Rabbeinu was the same way. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have waited a little bit longer, he would have seen that the Zman HaTikun was not ready yet, and that's Rav Lach. But here's the idea. Moshe Rabbeinu said to the men of Korach, as well as Dustin Avirim, what did he say? He said, Im Bria Yivra Hashem. How do you translate those words?
God created
Im Bria Yivra Hashem. If God creates a creation, and the land opens up the ground, then everyone will see that I was right and Korach was wrong. What does that mean, if God creates a hole in the ground? Just say, God create a hole in the ground. What is it? What's the im? If God creates the world, did he or didn't he have a hole in the ground? That's number one. Number two, isn't it straight out there's a hole in the ground? It's a Gemara Pesachim Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, that one of the 10 things that were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos is the Piaretz, that the ground opened up. So what's Pshat? If there is a Piaretz, there is a Piaretz. It for sure exists. It's straight out. It's a Gemara Pesachim Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. Wasn't that also takes for it? What in the world does that mean? Let's deal with Bein Hashmashos for a second, guys. Bein Hashmashos, is it day or is it night? What is it? What is it? It's a suffix, right? It's a suffix. We paskin, it's a suffix, and we have to go lechumrah. How in the world could it be a suffix? If God created things, and Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, then it must be day. If it's night, then it's Shabbos. And God didn't create anything on Shabbos. If it's day, then he could create it. If it's a suffix and you have to go with Chumrah, then how could God create something? And if you say, well, God knows. Well, God knows, then we know. The fact that there's a Gemara that says that God created something, Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, shows us that Bein Hashmashos is day. That's a proof right there that it's day because God created something during that time. So why do we even have a suffix? What's our doubt? What's our problem with saying that it's a suffix? How can we mask in that way? It is unreal, says Revolson. Here's the pshat. It is a suffix. It's a suffix. It's brought down into the world, and the whole situation is a suffix. Meaning, there are 10 things that were created as sfeikos. You might need them, you might not. If Bein Hashmashos is day, then they were created, and they're there. If Bein Hashmashos is night, then you won't need them, and they're not there. And it's a suffix. In other words, it's sort of, we're living in such a reality where everything is right there in front of us. Think more corporal. Think beyond the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond the world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu can allow things to be there and can allow things to not be there based on piske halacha that we make. You paskin that Bein Hashmashos is day, then it's day and these 10 things were created. You paskin that Bein Hashmashos is night, then it's night and they weren't created. You ever wonder why people always wonder about Shadim? Does Shadim exist or does Shadim not exist? Demons exist, demons don't exist. Well, how is there a suffix? It's a straight out Gemara that they exist. How could the Rambam say that they don't exist? The answer is, Rambam paskins lahalacha, that Bein Hashmashos is night. Well, if you paskins lahalacha, that Bein Hashmashos is night, that means Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos was Shabbos night. Which means that God did not create 10 things in Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. So the demons were never created. So the Rambam, Lishitato, holds that there are no demons.
So we end the chat at the sunset.
I'm sorry?
You end the chat at the sunset?
Yep, Bein Hashmashos. Bein Hashmashos is a bit of a kasha when exactly that is.
Right, okay, according to the Gra's understanding of Bein Hashmashos, then the sunset, you begin
a chat. According to the Gra. And according to the Magen Avraham, it's faith. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it gets complicated when you deal with it. Yeah, but nonetheless, you get complicated when you deal with all of this. Nonetheless, whatever Bein HaShemashot is, that's the pshat. Now, here's the pshat. Moshe Rabbeinu got up there and said, Im Bria Yivra Hashem. If God created the P.R.S., it was a suffix. If he paskins that Bein HaShemashot is day, then there's a P.R.S. and the land is going to swallow up Korach. If he paskins that Bein HaShemashot is night, then there is no such creation. So Moshe Rabbeinu paskined at that moment that Bein HaShemashot is day, and the P.R.S. was thus made at that moment, and it swallowed up Korach and all the people there.
Yeah, but Moshe Rabbeinu,
we've got a lot of stuff over here. Hold on. We're going to get to that. There's so much behind this. So he paskined it. Lahalacha, he paskined it right there. Now us, we still can't paskin it. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was on such a high level, especially in his 40s years, he's beyond the world. So he might paskin the Bein HaShemashot's day. For him, his reality allowed him to make a Pia Aretz because he held the Bein HaShemashot's day. But we're not in that level of learning. We didn't understand his sorrow. For us, Bein HaShemashot is still a suffix, so we don't know. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you paskined that Bein HaShemashot is day. You know what else was created on Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashot? Your own death. The kever of Moshe Rabbeinu was created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashot. Lishitascha, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, if you hold that you could kill Korach because Bein HaShemashot is day, and you just created a creation of the word, the P.R.X., then you also just created your own kever. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you said Rav Lachem to Bnei Korach, I say Rav Lach to you, and now you have to die. To Moshe Rabbeinu, Shadim existed. To Moshe Rabbeinu, the staff existed. To Moshe Rabbeinu, all this was day, so all those things existed. But for us, it's philosophic. Maybe there isn't a mate of Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe there never were mazikin in the world. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu never died. Because by us, lo yada ish es kvuraso. Nobody knows where he's buried. No one knows if Moshe Rabbeinu is really fully dead. The Gemara in Sota Yud Gimel says, Moshe Ominu Meshamish Bamarom. He's standing up and serving in the heavens up above. Meaning, he might still be out there. It's crazy. It's a suffix. It's a suffix. And until we paskin what Bein HaShemashot is, we can't paskin on that Shiloh. That's the crazy part behind the entire thing. I don't even want to say it. It's as if you would go back in time and you would see, would Moshe Rabbeinu be dead? It's an impossible question. And this is the paradox of Back to the Future Part 2 and 3. If you go back in time, you're seeing one reality of where Moshe Rabbeinu paskined one way. But there's another reality where we can paskin another way. And guys, halakha changes all the time. Halakha changes. You can paskin that there was such a tefillin known as tefillin shel Rashi. And the reality can change that when you make a psak, if everybody would hold the halakha that we should all wear tefillin shel Rabbeinu Tam, the halakha can change. The halakha can change. You can change reality. You literally can change reality. You know what the greatest halakha in the world is? Halakha is a 3-year-old girl. If her besulin breaks, she's no longer a besula. But if she's under 3 and she's slept with, she's still a besula. Okay? That's it. Under 3, she's still a besula. I'm not saying you should. Okay. Then under 3, she's still a besula. Over 3, she's no longer a besula. Listen, it's unreal. Let's say she was born in Adar. Okay? And she was slept with on, her birthday was Adar, Yud Adar. She was slept with on Chav Adar. So that means she's over 3, right? She's over 3 years old, and she's no longer a Besula. And then they're Ma'aber Adar. They make a second Adar. So really, when's her birthday? Yud Adar, Adar Beis. So now she's under 3. She's a Besula again. She's a Besula. You hear that? It's a Gemara. That she is a besula. Chassam Sofer uses it as a raya, that you can literally paskin the world. You can make a world exist based on your piskei halacha. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. He literally made a world. He made an entire world with his psak. But we don't hold that way. We hold it suffix. Because we don't understand Moshe Rabbeinu's decision. Yeah.
So first of all then, even though, yeah, okay, he had a burial place, what's stopping from going into Israel, and then when it's time to die, come back and then go to the burial place?
That's another question. That's already another question. Why didn't he go into Israel? That's part of the other answers that we gave, but not this answer. as part of that, the other answers. But that's the idea behind this over here. We're going to stop with this for right now, guys, and that's wrap up. But guys, everybody should have a great night. Let's do Marv right now. We'll do Marv right here.